The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I had another idea in mind, but the subject of fasting was just so awesome that I felt that it was necessary, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to speak about the subject a little more today. Fasting will set free your reward. Fasting will set free your reward. And let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. For some reason, we are losing the bottom part of these scriptures on the overhead. But fortunately, being a man who knows that computers often fail, I make sure I got them written down here, all right? So if I have to go to my notes to read the scriptures to you, that's what that's all about. Congratulations! Hallelujah! You have done what the vast majority of Christians have never done. I would venture a guess, and I don't have any statistics. I've never seen any statistics on the subject. But my guess is that 99% of the churches in America have never fasted. And I would venture a guess that within the church, you could go probably to the major churches in this community, and you would find that 100% of the people in the churches have never fasted. They've never really had a God-called, God-ordained fast. And you did it. You responded to the call of God and to me as your pastor to do it. And I'll tell you what, I am stunned. I am stunned. I can't get over it. Of all the things that I've asked people to do in the years that I've been pastoring this church and working in other churches, I have never, ever seen the response that we had in this church. It just knocked my proverbial socks on, made my myoelectric arm go crazy. I'm telling you what, I am just I'm just flabbergasted. In fact, I have the sign-up sheet here. And when last Sunday when it was passed around, and I saw the sign-up sheet, and I saw seven names on there, I said, well, you know, that's about it. You know, probably seven people agreed to fasting. But then, because that's how much faith I had, I flipped over and looked at the other page that was filled up. Now, I don't know that we had 100% participation in people who signed up here, but I think it was that 100% or very close to that people signed up to fast. Now, what's remarkable about that is all the other stuff I've asked people to do is easy compared to that. You know, I kind of primed the pump a little bit, Freddie, when I said, oh, you don't have to do anything, but I was lying through my teeth. In the pulpit, I was lying. You don't have to do anything but not eat. And that's hard to do. It's hard. I mean, to deny the flesh. So I was just absolutely stunned that you did it and that so many of you participated. Now, one thing I want to just call to your attention, particularly in light of that scripture we read, said, don't let anybody know, you know, keep it a secret, you know, your Father sees in secret, let you know. And I know all that. But there were times in the scriptures when they called for everybody to fast. So I was on good, solid ground by asking you to do it. And they let others know by what they wore. They all wore sackcloth. You saw a guy walking around with sackcloth and ashes, you say, oh, boy, it's fasting. I mean, it was pretty obvious. And I didn't have any crocus sacks. I guess I could have got Bud. He could have got me some old crocus sacks. We could have dressed you in sackcloth. But being the nice guy I am, I gave you the little patch just to wear on your clothing. I know that some of you found that a little bit, I don't know. But I just did it anyway. I just stepped out in faith and just did it. And I know some of you had the same response I had. People ask me, what is that all about? I had to go to the doctors this week, and the doctor and the nurse want to know what it's about. I'd go in a restaurant, people want to know what it's about. Wherever I went, people would say, well, what's that on you? You know, what is that? And so I gave them the standard answer that I told you that I suggested that you give. I said, well, in the Bible, that sometimes the people, when they wanted to get close to God, they prayed and they fasted and they wore sackcloth and ashes, and that this was just a little reminder to me that I wanted to get close to the Lord. Well, some people just took that at face value, and that was the end of the conversation. But others wanted to know more. So it was really a neat opportunity for me to share more about the gospel of Jesus Christ with people that I wouldn't have had otherwise. In fact, I talked to more people about the Lord last week than I have in the last year. And I don't know how many, but it was a bunch. I mean, a really bunch. And I'm pretty free about talking to people about the gospel. So that was just awesome. We had this great response, and you fasted, and you defeated the flesh. You put the flesh down, whoo, glory, that the Spirit might rise up. And it worked. I mean, we heard the testimonies here this morning. It worked. Some of you heard from God. Some of you hadn't heard from God since you got saved. And suddenly God showed up on the scene. You know, that old song says, He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. He's been waiting for you and for me. The problem is that we're just so tied up in our fleshly world that we couldn't focus. We were like, you remember when they put the Hubble telescope up in space? You may remember this. Some of you watch these kinds of things. That thing costs more money than the United States of America costs. I mean, it was billions and billions and billions of dollars, way over budget. And they put it on a rocket. They sent it up there. And when they turned it on and flipped the switch so Hubble could look into deep space, it was blurry. They had messed up the mirror, the main component on that thing. So when they tried to take a picture, no matter what they do, they couldn't get it focused right. And they had to send a team of astronauts up there in the space shuttle. And they did what they called put a pair of glasses on Hubble so Hubble could see. And now we've seen some of those magnificent pictures from deep space. Well, that's kind of what fasting did for you. It kind of polished up your mirror. It kind of put some glasses on your spirit so that you could see God. He was there, but you just couldn't focus. And when you put the flesh down, your spirit rose up and it focused in. And you said, oh my, it's God. He is there. So you've had some of that experience. I want you to know that I've heard from God. Isn't it good to know that the pastor hears from God, Wayne? You know, I'm supposed to hear, all right? And I hear sometimes, but sometimes I hear through a miracle ear. I don't hear well, you know, it's just turned down a little bit. By the way, I appreciate all of you praying for my ears, all right? It's getting bad enough when my daughter tells me I've got need a miracle ear. My wife tells me, but I got people in church telling me I need one. You know, maybe I need to do something about that. But I want to get one of them old-fashioned horns, you know, just stick in your ear and you say, hey, you know, that'll work for me. But whatever, I just get my ears healed, it'll even be better. But I've been worried, and I use that word in a good context, I've been worried about this church since I started it. And this has been my major concern. My major concern is that this church would not live past me. I was worried that if something happened to me physically, if I were to die, get too old to do it, any multitude of things that could happen to keep me from functioning, that the church could not go beyond me. That was my concern. And it's almost a daily concern, something that was always on my mind. Well, Wednesday night when we were here and praying and ending our 3 days of fasting, those of you who were here, remember what I said, that the Lord spoke to me very specifically, a very clear word that I could hear in my spirit, and He told me, Morris, the church will survive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God glory. We're finally reached that place. And I was looking for something else to be the landmark to tell me that we would survive. But the Lord told me that we have done. And you are the group of people that will take us through. This is the body of believers, the foundation, wherever you've come from, that will be that catalyst and those torchbearers and those flag carriers that will bring us through. And if I get run over by a Mack truck tomorrow, I want you to know that you will go on. That this work will continue. It has been established by the Lord, and I finally got a word from God about that, and I can quit worrying about that. And I got something else to worry about, and I'll tell you later. But that's established. And I feel so good about that, that you are strong enough and able to carry this on to the next level. That is good news for me. Just briefly, you know, it says that, you know, some of you saw God. And the last real encounter I had with the Lord where I was really, really tuned in and really focused, you know, where my Hubble telescope illustration, where I was really crystal clear, was the Wednesday, before the devil tried to kill me and I lost my arm in that boating accident. And, but I had been in a time of prayer. You've heard me talk about this for some time. And I really had an outstanding word and a vision from the Lord. I mean, it was just awesome, really awesome. But I got to tell you, from then till now, I have not had that kind of, not that I don't hear from the Lord, and I'm not in constant contact with the Lord, and I don't mean that, but I mean really something really big. Well, Tuesday night we were here, and Brother Wayne was leading the Tuesday night services, and they were doing the worship time, and I was sitting here in the front where Miss Barbara is, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, "Why don't you go lay down in the front?" And I said, "Lord, I got my new Billy Graham shirt on, and it's black. And I don't want to get it dirty." I'm sorry. It was true. All right? That's what I told him. I don't want to get my shirt dirty. And it was just silence in heaven. And so I just sat there, and I heard the Lord say, "Why don't you just go lay down there?" I said, "No, I don't want to get my shirt dirty." I said, "I'll tell you what. I'm going to kneel down there." So I ponied up here, and I knelt down there and got in a religious posture, and all my head down. And I was talking to the Lord while you guys were singing, and I got finished my little prayer time, and I was going to go sit back on my chair, and the Holy Spirit said, "You haven't laid down yet." I said, "All right, I'll just do it." The heck with the shirt. So I just lay down here, and I put my hand on my head, and oh, man, God just showed up right here. I mean, just crystal clear. And I had a vision, and I hope I can give it to you in a way that it'll mean something to you. But I was, as I was there, I saw, you know how they do sometimes in the movies, they do these things where they take a camera and they walk a camera through a scene as if the person was looking, you know, as if the person was a camera. You've seen that. They do that in movies all the time. Well, it was kind of like that. And I saw myself in the temple area. In what they call the court of the Gentiles, as the Bible describes it. And it's a place where the Gentiles were allowed to go, but there was a wall, and they couldn't go past that wall because you had to be an Israelite to go past the wall. And I saw myself kind of in that court of the Gentiles, and then there was like a gate or a breach that I walked through into the temple area where the Jews could go. And then I saw myself going up the steps to where all the instruments of the sacrifice were. And as I went up there, I saw the table, the altar where the sacrifices took place. And I saw the bowl of incense, and it was the fragrance was going up. And I said, "Lord, let me smell it. I want to smell the incense." And so I was going, took a little breath, and smelled it. I said, "Come on, Lord, let me smell it." Now, I'm not a Looney Tune, all right? Y'all know me. I'm probably too sedate in some areas. But I tell you what, the fragrance of incense filled my nostrils and my breathing atmosphere. And I breathed it. I said, "Okay, now I don't want to be imagining this. You know, this, I want to make sure this is really you because I don't like phony baloney stuff." And so I took another deep breath, and it was so real. It was just, some of you come from a Catholic church, remember when they used to have the incense and they'd swing it, you know, sometimes, you know how that aroma? It was just like that. But it wasn't just my mind thinking about it. My physical being smelled it. And it was just awesome. I thought, whoa. And then it's this camera move. I just kind of moved. And there was the bowl that they washed the sacrifices in, the cleansing where the water is. And I saw myself reach down and grab the water and throw it up in the air. And like big droplets of water began to fall on me. Now, I've got to tell you, up to this point, it had been kind of, if you've seen pictures of Israel in the temple area, it's kind of, brown looking, kind of, not really bright colored. It's kind of, rather sedate colored. And all of a sudden, the sky just burst into this brilliant blue. I mean, it's as pretty as the day we have here. It's the blue sky. And I was just throwing that water over me. It was just going all over me. I was just enjoying myself in the moment. And it was just absolutely awesome. I mean, really, really, really neat. And that went on for a little while. And I'm like, Paul, I don't know whether I was in the spirit or in the flesh. I don't know where I was. I know I was laid down on the floor. And all of this began to happen. And then I saw the table where the showbread is, where the bread is that's out in that area. And I saw that. And then the Lord said, this way. And I walked into the Holy of Holies. Now, the thing that was remarkable about it was I saw in my mind's eye, in this vision, I saw the Ark of the Covenant and the angels there, which we're all very familiar with. But I said to myself in my conscious mind, well, there's no light in here. And they weren't allowed to bring any light into the Holy of Holies. They weren't allowed to do that. There wasn't anything to light it. And the whole place was illuminated. And I remembered I walked over to a corner here, and there was no shadows. It was everywhere I looked, there was no shadows. I mean, there wouldn't normally be shadows if there was light. And I realized that the light was radiating from the ark. And I lay down in front of the ark, and as I lay down, something very unusual happened. Large drops of blood began to sprinkle on me. And it started to get on me. And I was very uncomfortable about it. The water was great. I mean, that was an exciting thing. But now these little droplets of blood kept getting on me. And I felt like, this is something not right. And it kept coming and coming and coming. And it wouldn't stop. And as I was laying prostrate on the floor in that Holy of Holies, it began to cover me. And I was completely covered as if I was in a pool of blood. Now, that's not very attractive. It's not something that I would have wanted to do. I wouldn't want to do it now. But as I was laying there and I was feeling uncomfortable, now here's the part that just, I hope the Lord will open your understanding to gather this. All of that blood began to flow in one direction. And it began to flow towards my heart. And it just kind of like all went and soaked in to my heart. And I could see my heart on the inside, and it was perfectly formed. And the blood began to start flowing out through the arteries of my body. It began flowing out, and it was pumping. The heart was pumping, and the blood was just flowing through me. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, this is what I see in a born-again believer with a new heart. And it's my life that flows in you. And the scripture came to my mind. Paul said that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And when that realization came, I realized that the life that I have that you see is not the life that's really gone, because on inside of me is the pumping of the precious blood of that eternal sacrifice of Christ that radiates through me and radiates through you as a believer. There's a life inside of you. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Woo! And why I was uncomfortable about it is because somebody had sacrificed that I might have this life. And that sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life, shed His blood, that I might have life. And that resurrected life is in everyone who is a believer. Oh, hallelujah. The water was nice because that was kind of easy, but the blood had a price on it. And boy, I tell you, I was laying down there, and that was all going on, and I was just really, I mean, just, that's a closest I've been to the Lord since I told you that, been over 10 years ago now. And unbeknownst to me, I kind of came back to earth, if that's the right words. And I heard some noises, and I looked up, and there were people all over the front up here praising God and worshiping God and in His presence. And I thought, thank you, Lord. I told myself that I had preached the previous week that we would see visions and we'd hear from God. And boy, I sure did. I mean, it was awesome. So I just wanted to share my testimony with you, that what happened to me. And knock yourself out. You can do the same thing. All right? Wasn't that good? I'm telling you, it was good. It was good. And then Wednesday to hear from the Lord again about the church being set free. I mean, it was incredible. Now, there are some other things that the Lord showed me that I can't deliver to you right now. It's because I'm still working through it. I don't necessarily understand them. So I'm praying about these things. And as the Lord gives me a clearer understanding, I'll share those things with you that the Lord showed me. But it was just an awesome thing for me to do this fast. And I said to myself, self, why haven't we been doing this before? What have we been doing for the last 7 years? We're doing everything but what we're supposed to do. So I was really impressed that we had done the right thing. Oh, by the way, just parenthetically, I guess it was it Wednesday night, Pat? We were looking at TV and they had Larry Stockstill and Franklin Jensen and... Yeah, it was one night. And they were talking about other churches, unbeknownst to me, that are fasting for 21 days around the nation. They were talking about some of the great things that were happening. And I thought, hey, that's pretty good. I must have heard from God. I did it at the same time they did. You know, so I was really pleased about that. Now, that's continuing. We're going to continue fasting every Sunday morning until through the end of January, okay? So, the same rules apply. If you have to take medication or something, you have to take some food. If you have to eat food, eat something you don't like, all right? Don't eat your favorite food. Instead of drinking your favorite cup of coffee, drink a cup of tea or something. I came in this morning and old Don was back there and he had his coffee cup and I made some comment about that being coffee. He said, no, that's not coffee. You told me in the past, that's tea. So, you know, just kind of changing things around. And it's okay. I mean, just as the Lord leads you. But I want us to come in on Sunday morning just absolutely prepared for God to move. All right, briefly I want to go through this and this won't take me long. He said laughingly. Whew. Excuse me. So what about this thing of rewards, okay? How to reap the rewards of fasting. The first thing is to act on what God is showing you. All right? I want you to act on what God is showing you. And look at this passage of Scripture. And I've got more Scripture than I normally use, but there's a reason for it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus went through Samaria and he met this Samaritan woman, okay? This is a scene. And he had spoke to her and said, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciple urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, and I've highlighted this in a different color for you, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his brilliant membership of New Beginnings Church said, that would be me because that's exactly what I'd have said. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him some food? That's what I would have thought. I mean, I think it's a natural thing to say. And he said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Fasting was not the end, as I told you last week, but the means to an end. We didn't fast and that was it. We were fasting because there were other things that God wanted to reveal to us. Fasting opened your eyes into the kingdom. Some of you saw things in the kingdom you haven't seen. Many people this week have told me that they saw things that they hadn't seen in a very long time. They have been drawn closer to God than they had been in a very long time. They begin to hear things and see things that they hadn't had in their life for a very long time. Now, if you received some instructions from God, whatever those instructions are, act now. Do something now. This is the moment. If God gave you deliverance from something, act on it now. If God told you to do something, act on it now. Don't wait. You know, sometimes we're waiting. I don't want you to wait for anything. The waters are stirring. God is moving. And this is the moment of activity, not idleness, all right? So if God spoke to you about something, I want you to do it now. If you need some help, talk to me. I've already had people talk to me about some things that are coming up. Do it now. Don't wait for some event to happen. This is the event. This is the time that we need to be acting. Now, Jesus said something, and I want to go back to this topic of food for just a minute. Jim, can you flip me back one place? Can you do that? Yeah, you can. All right. Jesus said on the topic of food, He said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Hunger in the physical nourishes and feeds your spirit man. When you deny the flesh, your spirit begins to grow. I had a guy that I knew many years ago, and he told me that one day the Lord gave him a vision of himself. He was a bodybuilder, you know, lifted weights and all that kind of stuff. He's in great shape. He said, God showed him his spirit man one time. He said, look like a little stick man inside of him. That his spirit man wasn't growing. Physically, he was on the outside, looked good, but his spirit wasn't growing. So the denial of yourself, whenever you got hungry, you know, Greg, you said you got hungry, that's the spirit is being fed at that moment in time. And when you feel that hunger pain, I was with someone, I guess I was here in the office, Judy was there, and my stomach was going, it was growling. I told her, shut up, wasn't getting anything. You know? But my spirit was growing. And your spirit has begun to grow. You are stronger today than you've been in a very long time. You are personally stronger. And then collectively, as a body of believers, we're stronger because we've had food that you can't buy. You've had food that you can't grow. You've had food like the children had in the desert that came from God to nourish them. Manna from heaven, exactly what you need to feed your spiritual being. The outside, by the way, you probably figured out by now, you know all the food that we eat every day? It's killing us. Just read some of the nutrition books. That stuff is so bad. Holy cow, it's a surprise you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Putting all of those poisons into our system. But when you deny yourself of food, and it's okay to eat. I mean, you don't eat, you die, all right? So we need to eat. But your spirit person begins to grow. You will have food that others won't understand. By the way, the average man on the street, we bring him into this congregation. Here's what you people had to say today. Here's what I had to say today. They call the paddy wagon, and the guys with the little white coats, and they strap you up and they take you away. No, because it doesn't make sense in the natural world. But that's the food of the spirit. Now, Jesus said that the food is to do the will of the Father. This is a season for action. This is the time to begin doing things. We've been languishing in a way. We've not moved out individually nor collectively in the way that we should. And this is the time that we're going to begin to move out. And let me rephrase that. We're not going to begin to move out. This is the time we are moving out. You know, we're not waiting for some command to do something. We are doing things, and we'll be doing more things. Greg got a great idea about working with the kids on Sunday morning. We're going to do that. I spoke to Regina. Regina's going to do a thing for the ladies. Not necessarily for the ladies, for everyone, really. We talked about it yesterday, to talk about parenting, spiritual parenting, and physical parenting. How many of you found this out by now? Just because you're old enough to have babies doesn't make you a good parent. How many of you figured that out? How many of you figured out just because you're old enough to get married doesn't make you a good husband or a good wife? How many of you figured that out? All right? Just because you're old enough and you're able doesn't make you good at it. And I think we've got some things that are lacking, and we're going to do this not only from New Beginnings Church, we're going to reach out kingdom-wide, and we're going to do some advertising about this as Regina begins to put it together, And we're going to have folks come and learn some very basic things. By the way, I won't say that. Oh, I'll go ahead and say it. But I just really admire Regina and Rick and what they're doing. And Judy gets all the credit, all right? Judy did a good job of raising that baby girl. And it's pouring out into her kids. And I may have told you this, but if not, it's worth repeating. I was over at the house last week, and one of the boys was doing something he wasn't supposed to do. And Regina looked at him with fire that I didn't know she had in her eyes. And she looked at him and said, "That's two. You don't want me to get the three." And boy, he didn't want to get the three, and he took off. You know. And I asked Regina, I said, "What happened to get the three?" She said, "I don't know." And Rick is on two, by the way. He's hoping she doesn't get the three. But we need some. She's got some real insight into this, and I'm just really excited about that. So you'll be hearing some more things. But again, this is a time of action, of doing something. It's time to do. Food is to finish what we start. That's what it said. It's to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. To finish. Let's not drop out now. No, let's go on. Let's press in. Let's make it happen now. This is the moment of action. Don't delay and don't wait. Move while the glow of the Holy Spirit is still hot. All right? The Spirit of God is hot right at this moment in time. I want you to plan on fasting very soon. I want you to fast next Sunday morning. All right? I want you to do that. Now, where do I get the authority to do that? I get the authority to do that from the Holy Spirit. It's responsible for your souls. I stand responsible for you as individuals. That's what God's called me to do, to watch over you. So this will be good for you on your own individual basis. By the way, if you weren't here last week, I had Don make up some extra CDs from last week's sermon. Get last week's sermon, all right? It'll really help you, okay? Because you're getting the second half of what something you should have heard from last week. So pick up the CD from last week, and it'll really help you in this area. So we're going to do another 3-day fast. What I decided to do, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for this year, we're going to fast 21 days. But we're not going to do it all at one time. We're going to spread it out over the year, all right? So I haven't decided yet, but I will let you know very soon whether we're going to fast like the first or second week in February or we're going to wait till the first or second week in March. We'll just kind of see. I'm really thinking February may be the time to do it while we're still going on. By the way, you don't have to wait for us all to do it at the same time, right? You can do this. You can fast as much as you want. Greg said he was going to do that. I think that's admirable to go ahead and do that. But let's do this while we can. Fasting, praying, and experiencing God should be the norm. That should be the norm. You should be calling me up all during the week, calling your other brothers and sisters in Christ and say, "Man, you wouldn't believe what God showed me last night." That should be the norm. You know? What isn't normal in the spirit world is saying, "I don't remember the last time I heard from God. I never hear from God. I pray and nothing happens." See, that's not the norm. The norm is for God to be moving. Amen? All right, number two, wait if your answer has not come. Some of you fasted, and some of you are disappointed because you're saying, "Well, how come everybody else heard from God and I didn't hear from God?" Don't give up. You've done it. You're okay. It's coming. The answer is coming. I mentioned, I don't know if it was last week or during the week, I can't remember where I said it, but it's prayer and fasting has residual value. It goes on. I use the illustration for you. You go to the gym, you work out, you look on a little meter, and it tells you you burned 100 calories. But when you leave, your body's still burning off those calories. You burn off a lot more calories even after you finish exercising. So the same way with fasting. There are spiritual things that are still going on, all right? So wait if your answer's not coming. I want to read you out of the book of Daniel. This is Daniel. "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, 'Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling." Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day," everybody say, "since the first day, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come to respond to them. Here's the thing I want you to see. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. This is an angel of the Lord. He was held up. The prince of Persia is the satanic forces that stopped him from doing what he was sent by God to do. Wayne talked about this Tuesday night. There is a war in place. And there are battles that are happening in the spirit realm. He resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Can you imagine that? Gabriel needed to call on Michael to help him. These are the spiritual, angelic, archangels of God. He needed some help. He said, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Some of you didn't hear yet. Don't despair. You did what the scriptures say to do. You followed the leadership of me as your pastor and as of this church. You did what you were supposed to do. And I want you to begin to believe that your answers are coming. Don't give up now. Believe that your answers are coming, for they are. God heard the request, but more importantly, He has seen your hearts. Remember I told you last week that one thing fasting does? It proves to you and to God that you're serious about your walk with the Lord. That's a serious business. And you took it seriously. And you did what you could. And that there is an answer coming. Fasting is powerful, but the forces against you are powerful too. Now, they say, well, Pastor, it's easy for you to say that. You don't have any trouble. You didn't see the email I sent out at 10 o'clock last night. I sent it out to Wayne. I sent it out to Jim. And I sent it out to Gray. I said, I am so sick that I probably won't be able to make it there tomorrow unless I get a touch from God. I was swollen up. I was sick to my stomach. I'd never get nauseous, and I was nauseous. I had all my plumbing was messed up on the inside. I was miserable. I was coughing. I couldn't breathe. And I said, tomorrow morning, I may be dead. I mean, that's how bad I felt. I really felt bad. And I wrote to them. I said, Greg, I know at the last minute, I didn't expect him to get a sermon together. I said, just hear everybody's testimony. That'll probably take up most of the time, which it did. And, just dismiss everybody. That was the plan for this morning. But I woke up this morning, and my voice, which was gone last night, is working now. You know, my tummy, which is all swollen up, is solid steel right now, all right? You know, my bad feelings I had yesterday, I could barely talk without coughing. And as you can tell, I'm doing pretty good right now. So the battle is waging, and the enemy will do whatever he can to slap us down. Make up your mind, you're not going to get slapped down again. You know, enough this far, no more. That this is the moment. Wait on the Lord. The answers are coming. There may be delays. There may be a battle going on that you have no knowledge of in the natural. But in the supernatural, things are happening. I'll tell you what. They're either happening, or let's have a book burning right now and get rid of this one. They are happening. Now, the Spirit of God is moving. Just briefly, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, then the angel said, I am Gabriel. This is the announcement to Mary and to Elizabeth about the coming Christ. He said, I stand in the presence of God. This guy stood in the presence of God. That's his job. He stood in the presence of God, and he took him 21 days to get to Daniel. It must have been a pretty big fight, don't you think? And then in the book of Revelation, there are other places, but I just picked this one, chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, all right, fought against the dragon. These are warriors of the Lord fighting, and they are fighting on our behalf. There are, as Billy Graham wrote a book called Angels on Assignment. There are angels on assignment today warring for you, fighting for you. bringing messages and hope and changing the course of your personal history. God said that He was sent when Daniel fasted and prayed. Go read. You have to read the whole first couple of chapters to pick up all the history of it. I didn't want to go through it all this morning. But He said, it was heard and He sent me. Press in. Here's the key. Get others to press in with you. You are not alone. You don't need to be alone. If you need somebody to fast with you, call them up and say, will you fast with me? Will you pray with me? I need some help. I can't do this alone. That's okay to do that. To get some divine help in the call. God sent help to Gabriel, and He'll send help to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, finally. Oh, glory. Get your shouting shoes on, mama. We're going to dance and shout. You're going to love this. The harvest, your harvest, expect your harvest to come. Come on now. Expect your harvest to come. Now, this is a long passage of Scripture, but I'm going to go through it all right? John 21, 1 through 13. Afterward, Jesus appeared, this is after the resurrection, to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we will go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? The American Standard Version says, children, have you aught to eat? Or do you have anything to eat? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even so, with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. The American Standard Version says, come and break your fast. None of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. I want you to begin to develop a sense of expectation about your harvest from this fast. I want you to start seeing it. Don't look at the negative that something didn't happen or you didn't get what you expected. I want you to begin to expect that a harvest will come from the fast that you did. You asked about things that you couldn't do, and God is able to do those things. He can do what you can't do. That's what He wants to do. That's what He wants us to do. God will respond to you and give you more than you asked for. He'll give you more than you had in mind. He'll give it to you in different ways than you ever dreamed possible. These were expert fishermen, and they went out to do what expert fishermen do, catch fish. They caught nothing. It's a picture of working in the natural. Jesus had died. They had buried Him. They had given their best shot. They went back to what they knew. And what they knew wouldn't work. Greg made a comment earlier, and he said that he thought that I said that I was going back to where we were. I don't know what he heard. Whatever he heard, he was dead wrong. Whatever you thought, Greg, you were wrong. We ain't going back nowhere, son. We're going forward from here. I don't know. Just the devil gave you something I didn't say. We're going forward from here because the old natural things won't work. We're moving into the things of the Spirit to do things according to the Spirit. That's where we are. That's what we need to do. The other things won't work. We'll have empty nets. It'll never happen in the natural. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. That the harvest was there, but they couldn't see it. If they'd have had one of those neat little fish binders I used to have on my boat, they could have turned that baby on and they'd have seen all the fish. They didn't see any fish. They couldn't see the fish because their vision was clouded with natural actions. And God was going to do something supernaturally. Put your net on the other side of the boat. The harvest was so big that they couldn't bring it in. It was a bigger, it doesn't say it was the biggest harvest they ever had, but you get the inclination that it was as big as they ever had, maybe bigger. They were surprised that the net wasn't torn. They couldn't see that fish were already on the shore. There were fish already on the shore. The harvest is everywhere. If we'll just but open our spirit and begin to look with a sense of expectation, the harvest is everywhere. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? They followed Jesus' instructions and they fished on the other side. That's moving from the natural to the supernatural. Living by the Spirit and doing what the Spirit tells you to do, not what your mind tells you to do. There is a way that seems right unto a man, the ways thereof are the ways of death. In other words, that's the words of the flesh. We need to even move in our spirit realm, expecting God to bring in the harvest. The challenge, cast your net out again and expect the harvest. One of the things that really interests me is several of you came to me and said that 3 days of fasting wasn't enough. Are you lost your mind? 3 days is not enough. You want to do more? I've never heard such a thing in all my life. Somebody wanted to do more. I found myself the same way. That I really didn't want to quit. Greg told me the same thing. He did. He dealt with the same thing. Several of you told me the same thing. That you wanted it to go on. Well, it is going on. You know what? I was real close to changing gears and extending the fast. But that's not what God asked me to do. Or asked you to do.